Grace to you and peace from God our Savior, Jesus, from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit blowing among us this day. Amen. We are in the second week of this summer series. Last week, Pastor Joel Paikin, the Director of Rural Ministry for the South Dakota Synod, joined our own Jamie Lennon, and they essentially recorded a live podcast in front of us. And what they were doing was highlighting the themes of the summer, giving us popular music that offers those themes to us, and then they gifted us with a 10-song playlist. And the intent was that in hearing those songs and listening to them explain, what we would hear were those themes of what it is to be Lutheran, that we would be rooted in the Word, that we would cling to Christ and to Him crucified, that we would, through that experience, God's grace, that we together as sacred community would discern our way forward. This week, our topic is the Bible and the revelation of God's free gift of grace, God's salvation within it. And so I want to start with this wonderful pastor. This is Pastor Katie Osweiler, a classmate of mine from Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley. She has had a different career than the rest of us. I think I've told you a bunch of times, there were 21 of us in our graduating class, and there are four or five who remain pastors today. And she's one of them, but her path has been different. She married a gentleman who serves in our United States military. And so her first call was as chaplain on Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. And there, she was put in charge of handling the 20,000 or so refugees who were coming through as we were at war with Afghanistan. Every year, 20,000 or so folks who would come through. From there, they were stationed in London, and she served as the chaplain of Kent College in Cambridge. And now works in D.C. and is there. When we were in seminary, we all split across the country for our internships. They're a year-long immersion experience. And even there, Katie's was different. She was sent to an urban setting where her supervisor was not with her in the congregation. So she functioned as the pastor at an urban ministry, which essentially meant running food pantries and clothing giveaways and helping to coordinate with all the social service agencies in and around the area. Well, at one point, doing that work very well, she got invited to a little conference, an ecumenical gathering, and being a baby pastor, we were all still wearing the collars, and she did that. And she went to this conference, and she was accosted. You know, the Southern Baptist garbage? Not new. Not new. Two folks came up to her and said, "So you don't believe in the Bible, huh?" And she went, "Women can't be pastors. The Bible says so." Now, you guys don't know Katie. I mean, they're really lucky that it didn't come with a punch, but she did offer them this. "I don't believe in the Bible. I believe in the God it reveals." This is maybe the most Lutheran thing you can say about the Bible. We as people of God in our Lutheran theology do not believe that the Bible is inerrant or perfect. Instead, we believe that it is inspired by God, and that what's important about it is how it reveals to us the God who created the universe, who gave His only Son, and who continues to breathe life into this world. Martin Luther said it this way. Again, not a new idea, brilliantly stated. "What matters as we gather together to read God's scripture is that as we do, we find in it He who gave Himself for us so that we, in believing, might have eternal life. And so, we have this little formula for how we read Scripture, how we get together with it. And it starts with that. We read first to meet Jesus. Martin Luther always had this understanding that when we came to the table and shared in the bread and the wine of this holy sacrament, that Christ was here with us through promise and the word, really present. Same thing for the font, that when there we invoked God's name over anyone, that because of that promise and that word, God would be with us. Well, we as the Lutheran Church today have said, we're going to call our pastors and our deacons ministers of word and sacrament and ministers of word and service. And so what we have understood as a church is that, yes, Luther, we completely agree and uphold that teaching. Christ is present with us in those sacraments. We also believe Christ is present with us in service. If you come to church on the street this Saturday, sign up today. Jump in, spiritofjoy.net/signups. Still spots for you. What you are going to do in that park next Saturday is to encounter Christ in people who do not look like you, in folks who cannot live like you, in people who are our neighbors in this beautiful city, and that we know are beloved just as we are by our God. And then, that final piece of ministers of word and service and sacraments is this. How do we encounter Christ? Carefully, in our holy scriptures. Doing so, we listen for God's voice. See, we think these being inspired are not dead, but instead are offering to us new understandings, continuing to call us forward in God's footsteps. And so we do the work of trying to figure out, what was God saying to this congregation in Thessalonica? And what does it have to do with me? And so we unpack and we work and we go back so that in this moment, as we're having those conversations, we begin to see what the gifts of Scripture were. The Southern Baptist Convention is not new. Pastor Katie experienced it. Pastor Heidi, Pastor Karen, right? All of our church leaders for generations have been experiencing that challenge. It is not a new thing. What Paul did in Acts 17 was to say to those who would listen, what we are telling you about Jesus is not new. It's been in Scripture all the way through. What's changed is that we now have the person who embodies it, and we understand the gift of Jesus in a different way. It's the same message that he heard when he stood over Stephen being stoned. It is the same message that Peter proclaimed on Pentecost. And it is the same message that Jesus gave to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus when their hearts burned inside them. That this one, Jesus, is the one we have been waiting for. It's the work that we do, and we don't do it alone. I really like the inside of my brain. I'm interesting and smart and funny. And I'm weird. I'm standing here in front of you doing this, right? If I spent all of my time studying and looking at Scripture on my own, my interpretation, my understanding, my work would become weird. And so we do that work together. We do it here in these spaces. We do it in studies throughout the week. We do it as a larger church. It's how all of our social messages and statements come to be through years of study, through conversation, and through input from across the country. I've spent the last 20 years, every time that there is a, hey, it's the open feedback time for this social message, sending in my feedback, offering to them my understanding of Scripture so that they can hold it next to yours, and to people from Chicago and Orlando and Seattle and Portland. And that together, we can say this is how we understand God to be revealed in this place. We do it so that we don't get weird, right? But all along, we have to do it remembering that it's not perfect, that what we have is indeed touched by human hands. Every translation that we wrestle with, that's an interpretation of what came through the Greek and the Hebrew. Making those decisions about which manuscripts were most accurate, those are decisions maybe made by humans, and so on and so forth. So that together, we have to acknowledge that the starting place is God's grace, not this sense of somehow this translation of the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, it's the one and the only. But instead, looking for how God might be revealed in that place. So what is the God that's revealed? What is the message that Paul proclaimed, that Stephen, that Peter, that Jesus said about himself? I think it's something along the lines of this, that grace is for us the love of God. Embodied in Jesus Christ, he who was born of the Virgin Mary, who let his parents leave the holy city when he was 12, who walked with this ragamuffin band of men and women, he made us holy and beloved people of God, having been named and claimed in the waters of baptism, each and every one. And what he offers to us is love that we cannot earn. It is this big word, absolutely free. On the house, and I love this, pure gift. What is the good news that all of those before us have proclaimed? It's that this Holy Scripture is not in and of itself perfect, but what it reveals is a God who is, and whose grace and love for each and every one of us is indeed perfect. And so, I add to Pastor Katie's quotation. I don't believe in the Bible. I believe in the God that is revealed therein, and that she is grace. Amen.